We have an opportunity this morning to do something together as a body in Christ, and that is to read together Psalm 23. It is in the bulletin, up on the screen as well. Would you read it with me as well? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It is good to be back with you on this gorgeous morning. Spring is coming. I will tell you that one of the nice parts about going south and then coming back is that going south, the farther south I got, the more spring I got. As I came back, the less spring I got, but the really great thing was that I drove up the street while it was still daylight, and all the snow mounds were gone. For us, that is the beginning of spring. So it was really nice to have enjoyed spring down south, and I know what's coming, and it's really great. Let us pray. Eternal God, we, your people, come into your presence wanting to hear the message you have for us. Open our ears, our eyes, our spirits, and our hearts to hear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Sheep and shepherd imagery run through both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Perhaps it is most associated with David, who wrote many of the Psalms, who was king of Israel and a shepherd before he became king. He was also an ancestor of Jesus, and certainly Jesus was very familiar with the Psalms of David and the sheep and shepherd imagery that he used. Perhaps it is not exactly flattering to be thought of as sheep, but the truth of the matter is we are very much like sheep. As George Frederick Handel paraphrased Psalm 119, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And it is not just a few human beings who tend to get lost. Humanity in general tends to wander off the right path and go astray. That is what caused the Messiah to come, to die a human death so that we might be able to return to the right path that God intended for us, perhaps a garden path. In the sermon text for today, Jesus gives us a new covenant image of himself as shepherd and us as sheep. Listen to John 10, 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Our shepherd chose us. Why Jesus chose us when we were not part of the original Hebrew flock is both simple and profound. He loved and loves us. What a marvelous thing to be chosen by the Messiah, Jesus, for him to have come and found us and made us part of his flock. So, what does it mean to be sheep who belong to the good shepherd? Well, we have a shepherd who knows us so well that he always knows where to find us. He is always on guard to keep us safe from evil and lead us to good pasture land. For the good shepherd, it is all about the sheep. The sheep are not there to make the shepherd feel like a shepherd and look like a shepherd. It is the other way around. The shepherd is there so that the sheep can be sheep, meek, vulnerable, and yet safe. As long as the shepherd is there, the sheep do not need to fear. They do not need to be hypervigilant lest the wolf sneak up and catch them unaware. If we are truly like sheep of the Good Shepherd, we should not be anxious, worried, or fearful about anything. We should feel secure and at peace with life. But that is not always really the case with us, is it? There is a sense in which we do not fully trust the Good Shepherd to keep us safe, because we and those we love know that all manner of disasters and unpleasant things can befall us. There is a sense in which we just know that serious illness, all manner of disasters, and people and things that we hold precious can be lost. Well, the Messiah never promised us that we would be safe from those things, but that is what the Messiah keeps us safe from. To paraphrase a 1960s song, God doesn't promise us a rose garden. We at times infer that our shepherd will keep us safe from all misfortune and suffering. We would like to think that Christ will protect us from health issues, natural disasters, thieves, murderers, mental health issues, and a host of other things. But Jesus neither says outright nor implies that those are the things that he keeps us safe from. Living on this earth for one day is enough to convince us all that human beings are not protected from all suffering. We are subject to all sorts of situations and events that we wish we could avoid. Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me, is a thought known not only to Jesus, but to us all. We can, however, attest that Jesus is with us in times of struggle and in the rough times. Our Good Shepherd never abandons us in the rough times. Instead, he is there to see us through and to lead us on to newness of life on the other side of those rough times. So all of this just begs the question, what is it that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, protects us from? Remember the prayer that Jesus prayed just before he was arrested? And he said that while he was in the world, he had protected his followers from evil, but now he was leaving the world and he was fearful for his followers, and he asked God to protect them. The wolf from which Jesus was asking God to protect his followers and us is the evil one. Evil turns us away from God and toward all that is against God and God's reconciling love. Evil can warp our view of the truth and skew our understanding so that we lose wisdom and truth. Evil can play with our spirits and our minds and distort our image of God and our image of ourselves. And in its extreme, evil can turn us away from the love of God and each other and make us servants of hatred, discord, fragmentation, destruction, and disunity. Jesus asked God to protect us from such evil when he prayed that final prayer before his crucifixion. Jesus says the Good Shepherd knows his sheep. And by that, he means more than just recognizing their physical characteristics in order to distinguish them from those that are not of his flock. And he means that he knows more about them than just their idiosyncrasies, their likes and dislikes, their hurts and their needs. Jesus knows all that, but he knows much more than that. The Greek word for know that Jesus uses in this place is ginosko. Ginosko means a deep kind of knowing through intimate experience. Jesus says it is the way that he knows God and that God knows him. Jesus says he is in the Father and the Father is in him. We probably never know another human being the way Jesus knows us. But if we think of our closest friend, the one we've known the longest and with whom we've shared the most intimate secrets, we can understand a little bit of what Jesus knows about us. When we share intimate secrets and life experiences that we are able to share with only very few people, maybe only one person, we share who we are and what we are like deep within us in a way that no one else in the world ever sees or knows us. It is who we are and what we are like in the deepest parts of our being that Jesus sees, knows, accepts, and loves. Now, we may think that Jesus does not know all the thoughts, feelings, and natural tendencies deep within us that we find it hard to accept about ourselves and maybe even feel ashamed of. But that is exactly what Jesus knew when he was dying on the cross. And he loved us enough to be on that cross. That is the kind of shepherd that we have. So when Jesus says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he is not talking about protecting some investment of his or protecting his livelihood. He's talking about loving these sheep that he knows so well down to their sinful, shameful core and saying that their lives are more important to him and to God the Father than his own life is. Now, unless I miss my guess, somebody is probably thinking, well, that is all well and good to have a shepherd who loves us so much that he's willing to die for us. But a dead shepherd can't protect us anymore, and once that shepherd is dead, who's going to love me like he did? Well, that thought is both true and untrue, depending upon the shepherd in question. A dead shepherd cannot protect the sheep unless the dead shepherd is Jesus. Jesus says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. Now, here is Jesus long before that dreadful Passover week in Jerusalem, talking about laying down his life for the flock and then taking up his life again. On this side of Easter, what are we to make of that? Much is made in Christendom about how we benefit from Jesus' death, his sacrificial atonement for our sin, and we are right to do so. But there is more to the story than that. As the resurrected good shepherd, Jesus takes care of us in ways that the human divine shepherd walking on this earth could not do. We get a hint of the way he cares for us now in his statement that his sheep know him. And by sheep, he means not only those original Hebrew sheep, but all the rest of us that got added to the flock, meaning us. Jesus uses the same Greek word for know, gnosko, when he says the sheep know him and know his voice. And remember that to know in that way means that we know intimately. Subsequent generations cannot know Jesus intimately as the original 12 men did. We cannot walk through the grain fields with him, see him heal the blind, raise the dead, hear him teach the deep meaning of Scripture, or pray those deep prayers. But we can experience the resurrected shepherd. The resurrected shepherd is as near as the breath that we breathe in and the next breath that we are about to breathe out. He is present in the prayer we sigh because we don't have the words to communicate the depth of our anguish, our joy, our grief, our praise, or our fear. He is as close as the breath we take when we are born and the breath we take that is our last as we die. He is the light that we see at dawn after sitting through a very dark night with a very ill child who at dawn awakes with the fever broken and a smile on that sweet little face. The risen shepherd fills our spirits with the breath of life. And if we listen closely deep within our spirits, we can hear him say, "I love you. You are mine, and I love you." In many ways, we are more blessed than those who walked with the physical Jesus. We can know the Jesus who defied death, conquered it, and lives in the present. We can not just externally know, but more importantly, internally know the forgiveness, peace, love, and strength of the undying, risen, good shepherd. We often hear in the church today that the church, the Bible, even Christianity is no longer relevant. We have to do something to make it relevant. We need to spice it up. Make people feel energized when they come to church. We, humans that we need to make the church and the Good Shepherd's message more appealing to folks by bringing in secular elements of culture that they find exciting and relevant. As if the message of the Good Shepherd is dull and irrelevant. Well, folks, I hope that you didn't find irrelevant the message of the Good Shepherd as we just talked about it. I may be missing something, and that is entirely possible. But from where I observe life, culture, and this entire world, the message that we have a good shepherd who gives life abundantly and who loves us even in the darkest, most sinful parts of our human nature is more relevant to and more needed by this community, this culture, this country, this whole world than all the excitement that culture has to offer in ball games, in you name it, anything. And that message is more important for people and more wanted by people than all of the exciting secular things that we could drag into our local church or the church globally. People need to know, and more importantly, feel deep in their being loved and accepted and wanted by the God who is our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. People need to know that there is nothing for which Christ cannot forgive them. And they need to experience that forgiveness, not just ephemerally, but in all of its reality. People need a church where they are welcomed by those who belong to the flock of the Good Shepherd. People need to feel the warmth of acceptance, genuine caring, and belonging to a flock that is led by and operates on the reconciling love of God rather than on the basis of popularity and power politics. Our Good Shepherd calls us to join him in bringing more people into the fold. Spreading his message begins when we reach out a hand of peace and acceptance to someone who has hurt us, to someone we have hurt, to someone who looks or acts different than we do and feels perhaps alienated. When we reach out a hand to the downtrodden who feel unworthy of care, much less love. When we stretch out a hand to someone who is carrying so much past and present guilt and feels so ashamed that they cannot look at another person in the face, but they can feel a hand extended to them in acceptance and love that comes not just from our human heart, but from the Spirit of Christ within us. The real shepherd of our little flock and of the whole flock of Christendom is the Good Shepherd, the resurrected Jesus who knows us and loves us. We are to listen for his voice, and we are to share his love, compassion, and forgiveness with the other members of the flock. And as we demonstrate our willingness to do so, God is going to bring more sheep into our flock. Amen. Let us stand and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed that you will find on the screen and in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.